everybody, it's me, Roscoe, and welcome to another live Kings of Anglia Fan Social, the show where the Cow Army share their thoughts on all things town. And if you're listening to this on a different day, why not join us live, 8 p.m. on all platforms, although not on Instagram, it's just on Twitter, YouTube and Facebook, but it's on all the platforms a lot of us use. But yeah, three straight wins for town, and two tonight. How's your hearts? Because that was a mental wild game. And today I'm joined by the Double Bs. I'm joined by Brad and Bainesy as we discuss all things town as always. Let's not muck about. Let's bring in Brad. Brad, new location. I still remember back in the days during lockdown, KOA fan socials and stuff. You were in your kitchen. It was growing and growing. It was improving. Now you're in a new house. Nice little red background. Nice little red number. How you doing, my friend?
Hello, mate. That's good to be back. I'm very good, thank you. We're in the dining room. My wife's very happy. She's in the living room watching her telly. She is very happy to get me set up in here ready. I'm ready to go. Let's do this.
Yes, let's do this indeed. And let's bring in Bainesy, my friend, all the way in Wales. Although he hasn't got the Welsh accent, but I know you can speak a bit of Welsh now, can't you, Bainesy? How are you?
Nos da, shamai.
Yes.
Sudoi ti. Yeah, all good. All good, thank you, Ross. I basically said, how are you in Welsh? For anyone who doesn't understand Welsh, it's probably a large part of the audience. But yeah, all good, thank you. Yeah, always nice to be back here doing the fan social. It's been a long time, but yeah. I'm a bit gutted I haven't seen Brad's kitchen, because obviously those of you who were early viewers of the fan socials, the periodic rise of the kitchen and, you know, bit by bit was a great story to watch. So I'm kind of gutted that it's just a red ball, but yeah, very jealous about how handy it is. But yeah, all good. Looking forward to talking all things town.
Good, my friend. And if you're just listening, you can see Bainesy is donning a lovely moustache, my friend. It's looking top notch. You donned a fantastic beard once upon a time, and you're like challenging me. Actually, you beat me to the best beard on this podcast. But now you're gone with a moustache. Is that something you've been working on?
I did, yeah. The beard was a labour of love. It took a long while to get there. A lot of work. It was enjoyable. But then it got a bit too difficult to maintain, so I've just gone with the tash, and hopefully it looks okay. Mrs. Baines likes it, and the kids don't think it's too bad either. So it's here to stay, I think.
I mentioned another B. Good old Bono here. Three very handsome young men right there. So thank you very much. Thank you very much, Bono. He's currently watching on his train home from London. So safe travels, Bono, and enjoy the show. Big shout out to Maddie Reader as well. Hello there, lads. Also, the Sweet Welsh Prince, Harvey Davis, joins us once again. Fine-looking gentleman. Oh, boys, I'm blushing. I am blushing. But thank you very much for that. Bainesy, a.k.a. Borat. Do you like that?
I mean, it just called you good-looking, and then it's called you Borat.
I know. I mean, Sacha Baron Cohen is quite a good-looking man, but I think in the suit and the Borat get-up, perhaps not so much. So thank you very much for that, Bono. Very, very, very nice of you to say not.
And Steve, I'll give you that tenner later when I see you in Plymouth. Roscoe looking dashing too. So thank you. So there we go. Love that. Well, let's segue on to three wins, boys. Three straight wins. After, you know, a little bit of a period where we lost against Maidstone, so to bring it up, you know, some draws in there, some, you know, other defeats, but three different wins against three different opposition. Of course, first was on Valentine's night, the 4-0 win against Millwall. What a win that was. And then trip to Swansea in the rain, a 2-1 win there. Connor Chaplin scoring a 50th town goal, of course, in that game. And then Tuesday night, at Portman Road, 7-goal thriller, 1-0 down, 3-1 up, 3-3, and then Amari Hutchinson steps up to score a late winner. Brad, in one word, how would you describe the last three games? Because they have been, well, my one word is mental.
Yeah, I was about to say mental, the way you've described them there, but I've actually gone for desire. Because basically, I feel like we've shown a real desire to get back into the top two race. We're looking way out of it. Leeds and Southampton have been on an incredible run of form. But I think these results just kind of show, yes, they may not be against top teams, but they're results which show that we are here to stay in this race. And the first one, like you say, Millwall, was a great win in front of the Sky cameras. And everyone's mentioned it, the little Amari Hutchinson, who we're going to talk about later, having a little tactical sit down, and it just all changed from there. But the one who's been key in all of these wins, I think, has been Kiefer Moore. How much of a better team we look now with him at the front of it. It just goes to show what we were missing with Hurst, even though they're different types of players. We're just looking at a much better drilled, drilled, but a more cohesive unit again now. So, I've gone for Desire because we just don't stop going until the very end, do we? Like even the other night, normally you'd be on the floor after equalising in the 93rd minute, which they did. Twice they've done it to the season now, Rotherham. But the guys, they pulled themselves up just to launch one more attack. And that was an incredible finish by Amari. And like you say, it was a mental game. And I think across the three games, we've shown that we're here to stay in this top two race, and long may it continue.
Yeah, I think we went into this sort of period where we knew we had to get points on the board, and we've done that, Bainesy. 9 points out of these three games, which has been fantastic. I know you were in Swansea in the lovely rain that was. It always rains in Wales, doesn't it, I hear?
Yeah, it's been a particularly bad year so far for rain. We've had a lot of rain. So even before then, the pitch is probably quite bad in any case. But the word I've gone with is momentum. And obviously, it's so important now that we string these wins together if we really want to stay in contention seriously for those top two spots, which we absolutely have no reason why we can't. We need to keep stringing these wins together, stringing these results together, keeping that, 2 points per game sort of run going. None of them, well, apart from the Millwall game, obviously, that was probably the most different of the three, given that obviously Joe Edwards has gone now. They looked a bit of a shambles. We kind of took advantage, really attacking. Everyone thought, great, here we go again. Just like last year, we had the Valentine's Day result. Then I think there was a couple of 4-0s in a couple of weeks after. So everyone's kind of thinking, here we go. It's back again. It's back on. And obviously the Swansea game again, probably the wettest game of football I've ever seen. It was more like, the Ospreys were playing there, with the way, bodies were just being dumped everywhere, sliding, mud everywhere. I think to be honest, I think weather-wise, we were probably a bit lucky that the rain didn't start a bit early, because towards the end of the second half, there are a lot of high balls and you're thinking, that's going to go out. And then it literally just dropped dead. And obviously the players were saying as well, it was like running through quicksand, and it was really hard and it fatigued them. But they ground out the win. It wasn't particularly pretty at the end, very close. Obviously, Vass producing an absolutely spectacular save. Say what you want about him. He makes the odd mistake here and there, but he's done some absolutely fantastic things as well this season, and saved us many a time. So you see that result. And then the Rotherham game, which was absolutely, bonkers, very reminiscent of, the Joe Royal days, seeing us concede a goal early again, and then you're thinking, am I worried about this? Should I be worried about this? And then it's like we score back 3-1. You're like, oh, this is great. And then they creep back in. You're like, oh, no, here we go. And then they get the pen. You think, oh, it's it. And you kind of resign yourself to thinking, yeah, not too bad a point. We've got two wins before that. You start kind of, rationalise it in your head, and it's like, we've won, great, yeah, no probs. And just such composure from Hutchinson, especially being so young, phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal in the end. It's just like, and breathe, and you've got the 3 points, and we've got another chance again on Saturday to build another win. And it was obviously especially good as well because Southampton dropped points, and just like last year, the three teams, you've got to take the punt, you've got to take advantage when you can. When teams drop points, you have to win. You have to take advantage of them slipping up. And we absolutely did. So, yeah, more momentum coming, all the better going into these crucial latter stages of the season.
Yeah, so momentum, desire. We've got Brave here from Steve, EJ, Norris. different. They were different, three very different games. And my sort of takeaway from them all, obviously, you know, we can score goals, but we do also concede a few goals, Brad. And I want to bring up the stat. We mentioned it on the main pod. I want to sort of get your thoughts on it as well. There's a very interesting stat on Ipswich have now conceded the first goal in 19 of the 39 games they've played across all competitions, 10 at home, 9 away. And then 6 times they've now let a goal inside the opening 5 minutes. 16 times their goal has been breached inside the quarter of an hour. So, yeah, are you concerned about that and something that may need to be addressing? Obviously, there's been a few times where we've conceded early, won the game anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But, you know, getting to this period of the season, it could, you know, come up again.
Yeah, I don't think that's something I've ever been too concerned about. My thing has always been, if you're not scoring goals, is one that I'm always concerned about. I think a lot of them are individual errors. It's not like we're defending badly as a team. You look at, I mean, Wolfie, for me, the last, well, not last couple of games, but certainly the West Brom era, and I think it was a mix-up with Clark again last night, mainly more Harry Clark, where it's just individual. I think if we were really open, if we were just shambolic defensively, then yeah, I would be concerned. But it's more due to the individual errors, and obviously it's something they need to cut out themselves. We've looked a lot more solid with Burgess at the back. I will say it's a huge theme, him returning from the Asia Cup. And like you say, Vaz has made a couple of errors, but yeah, we do concede goals. But if you're winning 4-3, I'm always going to take that over a 1-0 scrappy win, ugly win. So it's a hell of a ride at the minute. I'm enjoying and loving every minute of it. We can concede 6 on Saturday and score 7, I'd still be buzzing it over me. I wouldn't care. So as long as we keep scoring the goals we do, it's not really a problem.
Yeah, I think it's what makes this season even more bonkers. You know, there, how many teams could concede that early on in the game and still be able to go on and win the game and still be in contention for the top two? It's just phenomenal. But yeah, I agree with you, Brad. I think McKenna's always meant, you know, always tried to rationalise it afterwards as, you know, it's not a concern because of individual errors, or it's not, you know, X, Y, Z. And he talks so well, obviously, you completely trust what he says. But I can't remember what game it was after the Swansea one or before. I can't remember where he was saying, you know, we are kind of looking at it. You know, it is not a concern. He's saying we are looking at it. I think it's important that they do take it into account. But ultimately, when you've got kind of the attacking options we've got, and you've come from behind as many times as we have, that muscle memory of being like, we can do this. So like on Tuesday at Rotherham, of course, it was absolutely possible because we've scored late on many times this season. And perhaps that's why Amari was just be able to be so calm, because he knew we've been here before. The team knows we've been here before. They're able to just play their normal way, not playing the situation. They're just playing their game, they're playing their style, they're playing their philosophy, and they got the result. As Brad said, it doesn't matter how you win, it's just, you just win. That's what the important thing is at this stage of the season.
Yeah, and Owen Jones, just, I think there's one word, winning. Yeah, we're winning, winning games, which is great to see. And Brad, this team just doesn't give up, do they? You know, from conceding, I think any other team in this division, I'm just saying this, maybe the boss hat on right now, but any other team in this division who concedes a 94th, 3rd, whatever minute penalty, they'll be deflated and they'll lose the, you know, they'll probably actually go on to maybe lose the game, or they'll just draw the game. But for us to get us, dust ourselves off and go and score a late winner, I think it just shows how this team are together.
So there's something in there, isn't there? How for the last 20 minutes of the game, or probably even last half an hour or more than that, we were getting dominated by Rotherham, the bottom of the league side, who, let's all say it, they played bloody well. I thought they played really well, and obviously I don't watch them every week, but I thought if they're bottom of the league, obviously they're not going to stay up. But if they continue to play like that, it's going to stand them in good stead for next season under Liam Richardson. But it's just like something just clicks in us, how we just suddenly, right, a pedal's back, let's go and score the winner. We've done it numerous times this season. Blackburn equalising 3-3, we go and win 4-3. I could see her name loads, but it's definitely a mentality thing, how the players can just almost like it's not happened. Like the whole crowd is just, we're all deflated, aren't we? Everyone watching that game was just deflated as soon as I went in, as soon as a penalty was given, which was never a penalty, by the way. It was shocking. Keith Stroud, as usual, being Keith Stroud. But it's an incredible mentality and attitude for us boys to keep going, even though they were so dead on their feet on Tuesday night. And which is the reason, which is part of the reason, I know you say about the stat about conceding early, but I do wonder how many late goals we've conceded, because it must be right up there. And like you say, there's quite a clear one on the substitutions. I think we're, if not the top scorers in subs who come on to impact the game, which is another incredible thing, because we're a lead one side last season. We've come up with a lead one squad. Yes, we've added quality, but you don't expect a team who has come up to have that much threat on the bench. As you normally have your 11 out there, and then that'd be it. You sort of hadn't really got any hope after that. But it's just to show the squad that McKenna's built here. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, and Bainesy, where were you at when that third, the equaliser went in? Because obviously, there's a lot of people probably would have left the ground going, oh, they've had enough. But then there'd be a few. I don't think there'd be that many people. I think there'd be a few people just go, oh, I want to rush. I want to beat the rush, beat the traffic. And, oh, we've let the lead go. We're going to, you know, we'll just draw this game. But this team, never give up on them because they found that goal.
Yeah, if you're at an Ipswich game, leave early at your peril, because we do like scoring late goals. But yeah, I think it's a combination of belief that, you know, they know they can do it. And it's the stats that they've done it before. So when you've got those two things, you know, you've got so much, you know, talent, across the team and across the squad. And McKenna knows he's got options on the bench to bring on suit, you know, different game states and different situations. It's an absolute winning formula. So the players ultimately all buy into that, you know, that confidence as well. And how close-knit they are, you know, the slow and continuous improvement, or the steady and continuous improvement of the squad. We kept a lot of the same squads, you know, going up this year, which is obviously massive. You've got that consistency and cohesion between the team. And then McKenna's been able to add, you know, little gems here and there, like, you know, like Hutchinson and Sarmiento and Kiefer Moore to add to it. But if you've already got that existing shell and that existing, you know, spine of a really good team, then it just makes, you know, integrating new players really easy. And it means that you can go out and have results like you did Tuesday night, because you've got a fantastic team, fantastic players, fantastic philosophy and playing style, and you'll always be fine. But yeah, it is bonkers this season in every way, shape and form. But it's both excruciating at times, stressful, everything, but yeah, wouldn't miss it for the world. What a time to be an Ipswich fan.
Yeah, it's golden ticket at the moment. Be at Portland Road, you're just entertained every week, and yeah, watch your hearts, ladies and gentlemen, watch your hearts, because there's some moments where you think, oh dearie me, why have I done this to myself? 90 minutes of football. And I want to sort of really highlight Amari Hutchinson, Brad, because the man who scored, the young man, I have to say, the young man who scored the late winner, and he's been there a few times this season. He's been for the big moments, you know, Middlesbrough, West Brom late equaliser, Southampton, and now goes and scores, you know, the winner to give us a big 3 points from, you know, conceding late on as well. So how impressed have you been of him? His journey from pre-season to now has been fantastic.
Yeah, he's just got so much. He's improved so much throughout the season. And when I look at him, he doesn't strike me as a player that young, because nothing phases him. His emotions when he scores, when he does something, he's always focused. And I think when you get a Premier League loanee, you normally expect them to be, you'll probably have seen the odd moment of magic, but generally they're going to be quite lightweight and a bit flaky. But Amari, I think he's going to the top, because he must have a really good ability to listen to coaches, because he's improved absolutely no end on McKenna. His end product is, for me, the main thing which has, because he'd get into good positions, he'd beat his man once, twice, three times even, and then the final ball wouldn't be quite right. But lately, it's just everything he touches turns to gold. And you can see it with the things that has been happening lately, like you say, late winner. And I think his general performance and the Millwall performance, I thought he was outstanding, absolutely outstanding. And I think right now, I'd have him in a starting lineup. I really would. I don't know who you'd probably think who would it's hard to say which one of them he'd want to drop for him, but I really, really like him in the 10 role. And Connor Chapman is a fantastic player for us. He's done brilliant things for us. He's a brilliant footballer, Connor is. But Amari offers something different to Connor in the fact that Connor's mainly a finisher, isn't he? Yeah, he does link to play well generally, but he's mainly a man who's waiting on the edge of a box to pounce and score like he did at Swansea. But Amari, I just thought, with his last few performances in that role, he just gives us a lot more chance creation, in my opinion, because he can drift right and left, link up with the wingers, fantastic first touch. And the defenders are always scared to touch him. They just do not want to touch him because they know that if they do, the moment they commit, he'll beat them or he can find a pass. And I'd have him in my starting lineup for Saturday. He's been brilliant and he's doing right to the very top. And I really hope we see him back next season as well, because it's the trouble with low knees. You don't really want to fall in love with him, do you? Because you won't see him again. But I hope that Amari is one that definitely comes back.
Yeah, obviously when he signed Bainesy, you know, they go, oh, it's now one of these Premier League loans. First loan as well in senior football. So you don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, he's really highly rated. You know, he's at Arsenal's academy, then he went to Chelsea. I think Pele, he did a video with Pele, I think, when he was very young. And obviously, he's been fantastic. His progression, as I said, since pre-season to now, you've just seen how he's progressed and it's been fantastic to see. And obviously, Chelsea, I'm sure they're happy with what we're doing with him at the moment. And obviously, we've had a few Premier League loans which have been a bit flops, haven't they, from different clubs. Of course, Dane Scarlett, sadly, is one of those. I wouldn't say he's a flop. I think it just didn't work out. I think McKenna got other players and it just didn't work out in the end. And obviously, couldn't play in the cup games because he was cup tied already. But Amari has been fantastic. And yeah, overall thoughts on him.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You know, these young Premier League loanees can be very, very hit and miss. You know, a lot of them, it might be the first time they've been away from home. They're having to live independently. That in itself, you know, is a challenge. You know, especially at big clubs where everything's done for them. You know, everything's laid out, and having to be more independent can be difficult. And you know, having integrating themselves into a team as well. So yeah, that might be why Dane Scarlett didn't work out, perhaps, and along with another factors. But Amari's been fantastic. I mean, especially when you consider that before now, really, he's played what was Premier League 2, wasn't it? So it's sort of like football, but not really proper football, proper men's football. You know, you'd expect him maybe to have had a bit more, or would have taken a lot longer to kind of get used to the Championship, because the Championship is an incredibly tough league. But he's, as Brad said, he's just got better and better. And I think now young players are realising that if they listen and if they are willing to be coached, then the sky's the limit. And obviously, he would have, I'm sure, you know, looked at, and Chelsea would have looked at, you know, Kieran McKenna to make sure that it was the right place for him to go and the right team for him to go. And he's obviously a fantastic coach. I mean, look what he's done with the other players. So I think his willingness to listen, be coached, take feedback, has obviously worked, because he's steadily improved and he's hitting fantastic form at exactly the right time. And I completely would start him again. It's a good and a horrible dilemma to have, because who do you drop? But then equally, I don't think we can afford to have sentimentality, because we've got the chance of making the Premier League. I'm sure one of those players, you know, being dropped and dropping in and out would completely understand. Players in form should start. It's as simple as that. But yeah, he offers so much. Just, you know, his willingness to like to run at players and have a go. He's got a bit of trickery and pace. You know, he grew up in London. You know, playing street in the cages and stuff, and you know, street football. And he's got that really, you know, he likes a trick. He's pacey. As well, the Swansea game, he came on, he was holding up the ball really well in the corner, you know, holding strong. So he's got that as well. And like he shows on Tuesday night, remarkable composure, a 20-year-old man, first ever, you know, proper team he's played for, other than, you know, PL2. And he's scoring the winner in a promotion chasing side. And he just looks so cool and so composed. it's remarkable. If I was him, I obviously would have been screaming and shouting and celebrating, but he was just so calm and so cool. And I think that's probably the reason why he's really good, because he's able to remain kind of calm and composed, and you know, and he got his goal. So yeah, long may his form continue. We'll see about next season, I guess, with these loanees as well. Especially Chelsea, you know, they've got form to hop around and go around. But if there was an option to take him next season, I would absolutely have him in a heartbeat. He's a fantastic young player, and I'm sure he'll absolutely have a fantastic career in the game for a long period of time if his form continues in the same way.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, it's been good to see his progression from pre-season, because there's a few times where you're getting a bit frustrated, like, oh, doing too many tricks. He's making, the decision making weren't great, but he has been superb for the last few months. And obviously, Brad, Sarmiento got a start against Rotherham. Obviously got took off at half time. He came in for Nathan Broadhead, who scored 3 goals in his last 3 games. Obviously, maybe Broadhead was more of a bit of a rest thing there. But yeah, any more you want to add to that?
You say about Sarmiento. That was a funny one, weren't it? I like Jeremy. I really do. He's got a Premier League first touch. Takes the ball so well, glides past his man. But I almost feel like, even though he's had a recent loan at West Brom, he almost looks further behind in his development what Amari does. And the fact that, like I say, about the sort of a bit flaky sort of players you get on with Premier League loans. I think Sarmiento's a little bit like that, where if he's not involved in the game, then he's just anonymous. I prefer him off the bench. I gotta say, I think when he comes off the bench, with Amari, it's a different ball game. But it's just a shame that Jeremy didn't take his chance the other night, because he was against a bottom of the league side. And he really had a chance there. It's just a shame it didn't work out for him. But with Amari, like we were saying, I think that his trouble is he's just so good off the bench. I don't think there is a single player in that side who probably know Keith Moore chucking them on the last 5 minutes. It's not obviously it starts, but it's not a single player that I'd rather come off the bench than Amari, because when you get players like that, It's hard to start them, because you know the impact that they're going to have. And earlier in the season, Amari was having good bench appearances, getting the start, and like Sarmiento just did against Rotherham, wasn't quite showing enough on his start. But now he's coming on and coming on, and getting better and better. So we've got a great squad and a great group of attacking players, and each one of them provides something different, which is great for McKenna.
Yeah, indeed. Bangsy, you want to jump in there, mate? Get in there, come on.
Yeah, Sarmiento, he's got obvious talent. There's a reason why Brighton wanted to sign him, and you can see it. But perhaps he is a bit more raw in certain areas compared to Amari. But obviously, Amari had pre-season with us, and he's had a bit longer to get integrated. You know, coming into a promotion chasing team in January, you know, is going to be difficult. So perhaps that's played a part as well. But yeah, you can definitely see there's talent there. Perhaps he is more of an off-the-bench option as opposed to, you know, an out-and-out starter. But again, everyone has their part to play. He would have been brought here to play a role. So yeah, you know, we've got lots of different options, which is always great.
Yeah, it's great to hear, great to see, and all that jazz. Don't know why I said that, but that's my phrase, isn't it? I just always have to end a sentence with all that jazz. And I want to bring up, boys, now, because it was a late winner. Obviously, I think we mentioned this a few times already. I think Stu mentioned it in one of these pieces as well. That felt like the Pablo Canago late winner against Coventry, where Coventry, of course, scored a late equaliser, and then Pablo went up the other pitch and scored. I want to ask you your favourite Town last-minute winner, boys. I want to know what sort of stands out for you. There's, of course, some obvious ones out there. I won't mention them, just in case that is your favourite. But any of that stands out for you, Brad?
Yeah, when you put this question to me earlier today, I literally had one just like that, which has always been my favourite last-minute winner, not equaliser, winner for Town. And that's actually Christophe Berra versus Derby. 2-1 at home, yeah. It's like 2014, I think it was. 2013, well, it was the white sleeves. So, yeah, 2013-14 season. And that was just a great game because Derby were going well at the time. Patrick Bamford scored in the first minute. They could have absolutely robbed us. And then that was Johnny Esther's 17th loan or whatever it was. Scored a cracking free kick. Went absolutely mad. And I used to sit right behind the goal at that point. And you just saw Johnny's just arrow go straight into the corner. And then, like I say, in the dying embers of the game, big Christoph just come through about five bodies and just there was nothing stopping him getting to that ball. And everyone, well, obviously we all went absolutely berserk. So even though we didn't make the playoffs that season, it was a start of something you could see was happening under McCarthy. Cresswell was still there at that point. He got two assists for that game, that little tap to Johnny Esther. But yeah, it was a good time to be a Town fan, that was. And yeah, that's definitely the one which sticks out for me. It was brilliant.
Yeah, do you know what? I remember that one as well, really fondly. Yeah, Christoph Behrer used to score a few late winners, actually. I think he scored a few of those. And definitely against Portland Road and against teams like Derby, Birmingham. I know he used to always score against Birmingham as well, Christoph Behrer. But no, good one, that. Bainesy, any of that stand out for you?
It's a late-ish winner. I found it difficult to be like last minute winner and take the question too literally, so I went late-ish winner. So 2006, Danny Haynes against Norwich in February. He was remarkable then against Norwich. Like, he just loved scoring against them away at Carrow Road. You know, he was just in the box. Literally just popped up, stuck his head in, feet, boots were flying everywhere, and he just bundled it in. So yeah, I think, especially now, you know, that game coming up, I went towards that. You know, how nice would it be to batter them, you know, in April at Carrow Road? That'd be fantastic. But yeah, that lives in the memory for me. And then, yeah, what a player he was at that time.
Yeah. Sadly, boys, and I hate this stat, and I hate to bring it up, I think that's the last time we actually won at Carrow Road, which is horrendous. And we're gonna move on straight away because that is horrible. I don't know why I brought it up, but I have brought it up. And obviously, there's other late winners that stand out. Noel Hunt, Richard Chaplow, but that we use them all the time, don't we? We use them all the time. And there's obviously loads. There's been a few, actually, under McKenna. And in League One, there's been a few. I think, remember Caden Jackson against Wimbledon, I think. This is, yeah in the first League One season, or was it the...
Yeah, I think it was League One season.
Yeah, it was.
And from Georgiou as well. Yeah. He played that game.
Yeah, I think so. Random throwbacks, but yeah, there's loads of different late winners. Let us know, guys, your favorite late winner. Be good to hear about that. But let's have a nice little pause here, boys, as we've got to the over the half an hour mark, and it's time for the strike head to head. Bainesy and Brad, I think you guys actually went head to head in part of the strike invitational a few years back. I'm trying to think, was it Brad? Did you win, Brad? If I remember rightly,
I think
I was up against Brad, he definitely won.
I'm trying to be subtle about it, but yeah, I definitely beat him. Yeah.
Okay. It was a you know, good contest. It was a good contest. You know, it went to the final question. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't think it did. Maybe tiebreaker. But we shall see how it goes tonight. Of course, five questions as always. A tiebreaker we'll use anyway, but if needed. And of course, get involved, ladies and gentlemen. Get your thoughts. Get your pens and paper at the ready, and share your answers. And question one is on good old Ballet Biner, who came up on the news recently. I did a story online today. I did a post on Instagram. And he's back in football after 3 years out. He's had a really bad time, actually, with COVID, unfortunately, battling that. I think he had it six times, went to hospital four times as well. Sadly lost his dad. But he's now back in football, signing for his hometown club in Hungary. So all the best to Ballant. And obviously, he was a bit of a cult figure, wasn't he, when he was at the club? Obviously, he wasn't the greatest of players. But he just, you know, Hungarian fans just took over, didn't they? I think when he went to actually Notts County, they actually blocked Hungary as a country because I think they just were just basically putting everything down. But no, Ballant Biner at Town. Seven appearances in total, boys. What squad number did he wear for Town? And I've just realised I haven't put the question for Thingy Bob. So it won't be coming up on the screen, this first question, because I've done it wrong and I don't have enough time. So we're going to have to wait. There is options, I'll quickly tell you. Is it 12, 14, or 18?
Can you imagine if he did a keeper more and just come back? Like,
I don't, that would be
in the summer. Just
yeah, he's 33 now, although Keith Moore was in his 30s now. So, but yeah,
it must be a similar age, yeah.
Yeah, but he was such a
resurgence.
Yeah, it was just such a random signing, wasn't it? Because he came on trial with Kevin Brew, and obviously Beiner was at Borussia Dortmund, of course, B team. But just a random summer, because obviously that was the season we got into the playoffs, obviously, and he played a few games, but yeah, probably wasn't the standard. He did against Fulham.
Yeah, he got subbed off at half-time.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I think I think he actually got subbed off in like the 43rd minute. So I don't think he even completed the first half, bless him. But yeah, squad number, boys, what do you reckon? 12, 14 or 18 for a good old Ballant? No Beiner, no Partey. 14. 14 is the correct answer. So there we go. Question one in the books. Going forward, there will be the question will come up on the screen. I just butchered that first question. Because basically what I've done is I've gone, what team did Ballant Beiner join when he left town in 2015? And I put the squad number and I obviously mentioned Notts County. He left town to join. So I was like, I can't use that question. But I knew I had the squad number one in my head still as well. So it's 1-1. Going into question two. And it's on another person. Well, it's not in the news, but he had his birthday today, and that is Alan Armstrong, who the question is a bit of a sad one, really. He was sacked as a manager back in September, but at which club? Was it Gateshead, Hartlepool, or Darlington? But yeah, Alan Armstrong turned 49 today.
Sadly, Northeast, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. So that's why I've done all the Northeast.
Yeah. I was hoping you're going to give me a couple of southern ones in there, but never mind.
Yeah, just in case, just to throw you off and all that. Although you think
it's Hartlepool. I think we'd have heard about that from Jeff Stellan.
Yeah, true. So, Kevin Phillips is actually I've just given it away. Okay. Kevin Phillips is the manager of Hartlepool, so that's one ruled out already. So there's only now two you can pick from. But anyway, we're gonna go with it.
I'm gonna change. I didn't have Hartlepool wrote down, but I am actually changing to the other one.
Okay, that's fine. right then, boys, what do you reckon? Adam Armstrong was sacked from which club? Darlington. What was your original one, Brad? Was it Gateshead?
Gateshead.
Ooh.
He was born in Gateshead, wasn't he, I think?
He was. He was born in Gateshead. That's why I used it. And yeah, he was at Blyth Spartans. That's his first job, it was. And he did play for Darlington. And he also managed Darlington. So it's now 2-2. Desmond, going to question three. And question three is on good old Tabby. Good old J-Tab. He celebrates his birthday this month. And what is his middle name, boys? As always, this is a question they always like to bring up. What is his middle name? Is it Andrew, Anthony, or Alan? So J, Andrew Tab. J, Anthony Tab, or J, Alan Tab. I don't know. Is J a James? Or what can J be? No, I think he is just a J. I don't think he has got...
Is he Irish? Or?
Yeah, he won... Yeah, yes, yeah, he's got like family, probably.
Yeah,
he's now a jockey, obviously now these days.
Good golfer as well.
Yeah, he did a bit of rugby as well when he left us. He went into a bit of rugby.
How annoying is it when you get these people who are just good at every sport and good at everything? It's just so annoying.
Yeah, but yeah, he holds the Irish passport actually. So there we go. But yeah, one caps for the under-21s, but never won a senior cap. Did get called up for the senior team, but was on the bench for that. So never made a full international. But J-Tab, middle name, boys. What do you reckon? He turned 39 yesterday, actually. 39 yesterday, J-Tab. What do you reckon?
Gone Anthony.
Both gone Anthony. Oh, and you're both correct, by the way, boys. So you must know J-Tab a little bit because... you know his last middle name. So that is 3-3 going into question four. And it's on another birthday who celebrates his birthday today. His 30th birthday. And that is a current town player in Caden Jackson. And I wanted to try to do something a bit different with the question. I didn't want to do his middle name because he's got two middle names, isn't he? But I wanted to find out his first championship goal. And can you remember that? Who did Caden Jackson score his first championship goal against? Was it Brentford, Millwall, or West Brom? Bit of a trick question here, because he scored his three championship goals before this season was against these three sides. But which one was it first against? He scored his first town goal against Exeter in that League Cup defeat. Obviously, the Paul Hurst moment where we're like, yeah, it's probably not going to work out, Paul. Obviously, he threw players all over under the bus in that game, didn't he, after that press conference? But yeah, Caden Jackson, Brentford, Millwall, West Brom. Which team did he score his first championship goal for Town against? What do you reckon, boys? Three different games they were.
Tower and Header.
Brentford.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Okay.
West Brom. Yeah.
And, well, one of you is correct. And that one person is Brad, because it is Brentford in that, I think it was a draw. That's a 1-1 draw, I think.
Yeah.
So there we go. Brad is taking the lead here, going into the final question. And the final question is on good old Dean McDonald. Remember him back in the day, little Dean? I actually did an interview. One of my first early interviews in my career as a so-called journalist. I was just trying to just get interviews, and he said yes. And we did it in my office back then. I think we actually played Doncaster Rovers that day. We did it on a Saturday just before a game. And it was a lovely little interview with Dean. And he celebrates his birthday this month. So happy birthday to Dean. He joined Town, though. From which academy? Was it Arsenal, Chelsea or Fulham? He actually came on trial with Ipswich when he left this academy. And he told me he went on trial with so many different clubs. I think there's one club he went to and he actually scored, I think, 4 goals for and still didn't sign a contract, which is just mad. I think he went on trial a few times at different clubs and, of course, came to us. And he actually scored against the team he actually was on trial for in a trial game for us. So it was like, you know, sort of went, ha, this is what you could have had, and scored against them. So, Dean turned 38 on Monday. So, Dean. I think he's still playing a bit of non-league football, if I remember rightly. But what do you reckon, boys? Which academy? And can Brad take the lead and win here? Arsenal. It is Arsenal indeed. So Brad has got all the answers right. So that is a clean sweep in some sort of way. But good effort, Bainesy. Good effort. Dean McDonald, Arsenal. Funny enough, the team he was on trial at before it, which was Fulham. And I thought I'd just put that in there just in case you saw something one day, a little story. Brad, you have won, my friend, another edition of The Strike. Are we going to gamble?
Oh, yeah, gamble, 100%. Let's do it.
All right, tiebreaker is on David Norris, who has been on the news recently. He also celebrates his birthday this month. Sadly, I think he's had some money issues and he was having to sell a lot of his stuff. And I think he actually was going to sell his winners medal at Plymouth, but I think the fans got involved and they're able to save it. So,
John Walters got involved, hasn't he? Walters is like giving away a lot of his memorabilia to help raise money as well. So, is the strike all sad themed this week?
A little bit, maybe. Although, you know, some birthdays. Jay Tav's birthday, Dean McDonald's birthday, Kane Jackson's birthday. David Norris celebrated his birthday on Tuesday. So, happy birthday to David from then. 43 now, David. He's still playing, by the way, which is mad. Which is madness. He's playing for Lancaster City. That isn't the question, because that would just give it away there. But how many goals did the former Town skipper, David Norris, score for Town in 118 games? Obviously, captained the team, obviously, to when we played Arsenal in those League Cup, Carling Cup semi-final games. Obviously, the game against Arsenal in the first leg at Portman Road I'll always remember that because I was a young lad. And obviously, we lost the second leg, obviously, but still great
night. Penalty taker, wasn't he? He was. Probably our best penalty taker with... probably the last good, really good one. I can't think of a better one since.
No, not really. Very good captain. How many goals then you reckon, boys? Is a midfielder? 26. Brand's gone and 23. And if Baines, if you got it bang on, you of course that's the rule of this tiebreaker. If you get it bang on, you win. Unfortunately, you're not bang on, my friend, but you are the closest. It is 17.
Ooh.
So 118 games, 17 goals. Not a bad ratio for a midfielder. And he wasn't really a goal-scoring midfielder, wasn't he? He was more just, you know, just that deep midfielder, wasn't he? Where he, you know, sort of got involved in some of the attacking action. But Brad, you have won another edition of Strike. Hope everyone got involved and shared their answers. But Brad, speech as always, my friend.
Yeah, quite simply, knew the answers to the questions. I just got lucky, really. I mean, and actually, you asked me two questions there, which I'm Wikipedia and Ipswich players all the time. And I've recently Wikipedia'd J-Tab because I saw it was his birthday. And also Dean McDonald was one I've seen. Well, I just sort of know that, Arsenal Academy. So, and yeah, it was a good win. Happy with that. Baines, he played really well. Maybe next time, mate.
Next time. There's always a next time, as they say. And I'm going to give away my secrets here, but I have to admit, most of my questions are based on February birthdays or the current news. So if you see that, if you're on the podcast, do your research if you really want to, and you can be like Brad and get every answer correct. So, and he's won. So there we go. Another strike in the books. Thanks again for taking part, boys. Now let's segue on to Birmingham City at Portland Road, their second home game in a space of a few days. Birmingham, who are but have had a roller coaster of a season so far. Three different managers. Currently in okay form, you know, back-to-back wins in the last two games. Of course, Tony Mowbray won't be in the dugout for this game. Sadly, currently ill. So we wish Pony Mogga all the best for his current health. And but there will be another former Town player in the dugout, though. Mark Venus, Vino, will be there. Brad, opening thoughts on this game. Obviously, we had a bit of a roller coaster or a game against them back at St Andrews in November. Of course, Wayne Rooney was in the dugout for that one. And we had to score two late goals to get a point. So, yeah, opening thoughts on this game against the other Blues.
I think that's a really tough game, actually. Since Modder's gone in there, they've had indifferent results, but I love Modder. I just love him as a bloke. I think he galvanises any group that he goes into. It's like your uncle in a way. You just like him. An uncle that you like anyway, is an uncle which you just sort of want to play for and everyone looks up to him. And with him being missing, I can see this galvanising them even more. And yeah, that I think they're really going to go at us from the first minute on Saturday, as most teams try to. So I'll go early on the prediction. I'm actually going for a 1-1 this weekend. Winning again would be fantastic. It'd be four in a row. But I'm a bit of a pessimistic Town fan. I like to keep my cards close to my chest. And I normally find if I predict the win, we normally go and draw and lose. So if I'm predicting the draw, then that's a good thing. So, but it's a tough game. And I think if we win this one, yeah, again, momentum, like you said, Bainesy, that just carries on. And who knows, on Saturday, come 5 o'clock, we could be sitting in second place quite nicely because Leeds play Leicester on the Friday night. And what a turnaround that would be. Absolutely huge turnaround where we were 4 or 5 games ago. But it's a tough game. I hope Amari starts, like I say, and we take the game to him. And if we do get a 2-goal, 1-goal lead, don't take your foot off the gas. I know we were tired Tuesday night, but we were very happy for Rotherham just to sort of have the ball and manage the game. But let's just keep going. And it's 13 cup finals now. It's a cliche, but you've really got to go to the end in every one of these. And we have been all season. Let's not let Saturday be any different than that. And let's hopefully get the win.
Yeah, God, I think there's only 13 games left to go. Obviously, if we do have the playoffs, there's going to be 3 other games added on to that. But we're looking at hopefully the second spot. Hopefully that is the case. Stuart Scott's gone for a 3-1 Town win. So not a nice little win there. Bainesy, thoughts on this one? I want to mention also, of course, there's two players that will probably be big talking points going into this game. Of course, Andre Lazelle is now at Birmingham on loan from QPR, will be returned to Portland Road once again. And they've also got Jay Stansfield, a player that obviously Town fans probably wanted. McKenna was looking to get, but he stayed there. Their top goal scorer. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, all the best to Tony Mowbray. You know, hope he gets better soon and hopefully he's got his feet up with a cup of tea and a big bag of Revels. But yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting game because as Brad said, you know, they're going to want to win for him. But equally, I think, you know, like Leif Davis said on Tuesday night, you know, we know we can't keep doing this. So I think equally, they're going to be really fired up to prove that, you know, they can do better and can produce more comfortable results. Birmingham very up and down this month. They've won two games at home and the away games they've lost both to nil. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting game. I think I'm predicting a win just because if we want to keep going as we are and we want to definitely remain, you know, a contender for those top two spaces, then we've got to be beating these teams. It's absolutely, you know, no excuses. So I'm going to go with a 2-0 Town win. I think it'll be a clean sheet. I think the players will really want to prove to the fans and to everyone that we're better than that mental result on Tuesday, even though we did come out with a win, but we can do it in a more composed manner. I think it will be a tough game because, as I said, those players will be up for it. You know, they've got some good players. They are hitting a bit of form, but equally, it's a home game. You know, Fortress Portman Road, that will make a big difference. Yeah, I think it's going to be another win. Or I just hope it's another win, and it's the hope that kills you, I guess, as a Town fan.
Yeah, true. AD's gone for a 2-0 win as well, and I've gone for a 2-0 win, so that's hopefully the case. Hopefully Brad is wrong. It's not a draw, but it will be a tough game. I think Birmingham are one of those teams that, you know, could come here, and I think this is the first time we're playing Birmingham at Porton Road since, sadly, relegation boys from League One, Brad. So, you know, hopefully that will get rid of that bad time against Birmingham. Obviously, that, I think we drew that. Did we drew that game against Birmingham? I think we drew 1-1, actually, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, I think we... How many times have we actually drawn 1-1 this season? Probably not at all. So that's probably just a useless prediction. So probably it'll be 2-0 or 2-2 or 3-3. God knows, a 4-2. But yes, it's a tricky one for me. Like, I loved our recent fixtures. I really fancied us against Millwall, really fancied us against Swansea, and also obviously Tuesday night. But this is just one where Birmingham do have fairly good players, and the Tony Mowbray thing, I just think that's, yeah, it could cause more problems him actually not being there than it would if he was there in a weird way. But yeah, I hope Ali gets a bit more game time in this one as well. You can see that he's not polished in any way, but he's just so raw and is a great character, and he puts himself everywhere into every challenge.
He loves it, doesn't he? He's just passionate, just loves it.
Yeah, absolutely loves it. And yeah, well, I mean, we've left Kiefer on for 80 minutes in two games recently, where we've been like, well, 3-3 up or 3-1 up, 3-2 up even. So maybe he gets a bit more game time this week because, to be honest as well, I don't really want to see Kiefer doing another 80 minutes because he was quite possibly close to being injured for the weekend. He went down, didn't he, as well? So yeah, I'd like to see a bit more of Ali, like Amari to start, and hopefully another big 3 points.
Indeed, and yeah. Sorry, take it away.
Sorry, yeah, I'd like to see Al-Hamidi get a little more game time, but I think the way he's being used now is perfect because I think the natural thing to think is, well, why doesn't he start? And it's like, well, he has come up from League Two, you know, being integrated more slowly and bit part, you know, being able to have that, you know, that impact off the bench, you know, he can get that, you know, that game experience, and you know, every time he's come on, he's just been fantastic, been really up for it, got the crowd fired up. You know, that those last 10-15 minutes is absolutely perfect for him. So yeah, I keep thinking he's going to score every week, and I think he will get one this week. But yeah, what a player he is. It's so lovely seeing him playing football because he just absolutely loves it, and he enjoys, you know, being on the pitch and playing football, and I think so often you don't see that in players. So yeah, it's great that he's, you know, he's becoming a bit of a cult hero already, and you know, he's got people chanting his name, and there was, you know, flags in the crowd at Swansea as well. So yeah, hopefully that can spur him on as well, and he'll get a goal. But yeah, what a great player he is, and a great man.
Yeah, you've got another player
as well. I can say his name now.
You've got another player who just likes he's what, 4 games in, and just constantly just pounding the badge every time we score or whatever. It's just absolutely brilliant.
And then screaming, and then Mari's face being like, "Come on, this is how we should be." Yeah, yeah, fight him. Concussion protocol is a bit close call with that one.
Yeah, that's great. Obviously, I'm sure if we'll be the same, you know, if we were, you know, footballers, we'll, you know, you'd be passionate, wouldn't you? You know, you just you want to play football a lot. You know, obviously, his backstory is incredible, you know, from, you know, having to leave Iraq to go to Liverpool. And then obviously, he's had that journey in football where he's had to drop down to League Two. And now he's back into the Championship. And obviously, he's breaking, you know, records in terms of becoming the first Iraqi to play in the Championship, to play and score in the Championship. And obviously, he wants to hopefully be the first to do it in the Premier League as well, and hopefully he can do it with us. But yeah, Ali Alhamady, what a man so far. It's been great to see. Any other business, boys, going into this one?
I guess Massimo comes back in, doesn't he? I think Travis, the other night, he's a tidy player and he's aggressive in the tackle, but he just looks like it sounds harsh, but a budget Morsy in a way, in the fact that he has similar attributes, but he's just not as good as our beloved captain, who's just probably one of the best players in the league, to be fair. So I guess Massimo comes back in. Broadhead, somebody said that he was in Wales tonight. Maybe he just fancies nipping back home for a bit. I don't know if you've got any intel on that, Bainesy, if he's outside, maybe. I don't know.
That's a long old way to go if you've got a game on Saturday. But yeah, just want some Welsh cakes.
Yeah, I've heard they're very nice. Yeah, so... Yeah, I'd probably keep the team quite similar. I'd obviously like Broadhead to start. I'd like Amaro to start. I'd actually dip Chaplin out again for this one, controversially. But I'd start the same team that faced Millwall.
Okay. Maddie Reid has gone for a 3-1 Town win. That does remind me. You know, I already had it on my notes, so I did know. But that also reminds me to finish off looking at Birmingham. And it is her game two weekend. Dedicated weekend. Obviously, it's going to cross over for the men's game and also the women's game. The women's team have got Rugby Borough. Hopefully, the game is on. The last two games, unfortunately, have been postponed because it's been raining cats and dogs in Suffolk. So hopefully, this Sunday is all good to go. But yeah, this weekend is her game two, a dedicated weekend, which is great. Players will be warming up in the her game two shirts, and obviously it's fantastic. Of course, Maddie Reader is the ambassador for Ipswich Town as well. She does a fantastic work with that. And Bainesy, I know you've got, you know, you got a young daughter, haven't you?
I have.
Brad has as well. I know Brad's got a young daughter as well, and you brought your daughter to a game this season, Brad, haven't you?
No word of a lie. It was a sixth birthday a couple of weeks ago, and she top of her list was the Ipswich Town away kit. So, honestly, I haven't forced her down at all. She's just well into it, and took her down the park recently for a kickabout, and she's a good little player, if I do say so myself. Not biased at all, but she loves it, and it's great. Because I remember when I went to school, and I'm only 29, but I do remember how the girls did hockey and the boys did football. It was just, girls didn't play football. It was just... If you did, it's just almost like it was quite weird in a way. So I'm really, really pleased to see that the women's game is certainly growing as it is. And I hope that one day my daughter also plays for Town. You never know.
You never know. Yeah, Brad, as mentioned, you've got a young daughter as well. Maybe too young maybe to get into football just yet.
Yeah, so she's just turned 4. So She's been to a couple kind of football sessions, if you like, but it's very much just like just playing a game. But well, funnily enough, when she does kick a ball, she kicks with her left foot. So I'm feeling rather good about that. So if we can keep that, then she obviously stands a good stead, you know, compared to other right foot players. But yeah, as Brad said, it's fantastic, you know, for young girls, you know, to look up to, you know, the town women's team. You know, they're just, you know, really great role models to look up to. And then in the wider game as well, I mean, this year, momentous thing, you know, I'm a child of the 90s, you know, sticker albums were everything in primary school. And obviously the first WSL sticker album this year, I've started doing that with my daughter. I've opened the pack, she looks for the shinies, and then I stick them in, because obviously, with respect, I'm not trusting a 4-year-old sticking stickers in the book, because they have to be within the lines. But yeah, it's great. And obviously her game too as well, what they've achieved as a campaign is fantastic, and Maddie does great work as well. So yeah, it's great, you know, that, that these young girls have got, you know, role models and people to look up to.
Yeah, indeed. So, yeah, big shout out to Maddie, and she's actually watching on. So, hello, Maddie. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for the her game to love, guys. Much appreciated. And I'm sure Maddie will be in the fan zone if you want to get more information. And I said that the players will be wearing the her game to warm-up shirts and stuff like that. And, yeah, it's just great to see, you know, the fan base, Ipswich Town fan base is just, you know, young, old, boys, girls. It's just great to see and continue that great support, ladies and gentlemen. And it's been another great show. Over the hour and mark now, boys. This is the perfect way to end it. But any other business from you, Brad? Anything else you want to mention?
No, just on to Saturday. Come on, you Blues.
Indeed. And Bainesy, anything from you?
Nothing from me. Up at town.
Love it, love it. Well, the LBs have brought fire to this podcast. Thanks for joining me, boys. Thanks, everyone, for listening to another KOA Fan Social. We're going to be switching to a Friday night going forward. So the 1st of March is going to be a new Friday night, 8 p.m. So tune in next week. And if you're listening just on a different day, join us live. Get involved in the conversation. Get involved in a live show. Always great to hear from you. Thanks to everyone who got involved tonight. And we'll be back next week for another Fan Social. But yeah, if you're going to the game, enjoy it. If you're not, follow the game with us. As always, me, Stu and AJ will be there. And big shout out to our sponsors as always. Manscaped, use the code KOA. You get 20% off and free delivery for all your, you know, men grooming stuff, your beard, your nose, ears, you know, everything, you're down below and all that jazz. If you want to have good beards like me, Brad and Bainesy, then join Manscaped, use the code KOA. And of course, follow us on all our socials. And yeah, we're back for another Fan Social, as I said, next week. So bye for now. Brad, Bainesy, thanks for joining me. Let's go up the town. Bye bye for now.